Blog Talk Radio.
Charles Ross, thank you for listening in. You know, a lot of times in this business, you get to interview people you don't know, and that's always great. They're doing great things, but every once in a while, you get to introduce somebody, interview somebody who's doing great things, and you find out stuff about them, and like, whoa, didn't know all that. And that's the position that my guest, next guest is in. Her name is Stacy Randolph Castillo. She's an ambitious, high-performing sales professional with a strong 20-year background in insurance, sales management, new business development, and real estate. She's a serial entrepreneur. I never heard that before. That's interesting. With a vast experience regarding business ownership from acquisitions to mergers. Stacy's the owner of multiple Allstate insurance agencies in the metro Atlanta area. That's no easy feat to do. Most folks will own just one. As a proud second-generation insurance agent, she has received numerous awards by the insurance industry and notably licensed in multiple states. She's a proud mother of 5 children and knows what it takes to run a successful business and leave a legacy for her children. She wears many hats, and she loves community involvement, serves on all kinds of boards, including the Safe Table Talks, Evanston Hearts Foundation, and the Allstate Purple Purse Campaign. Please welcome Stacy Randolph Castillo to Your Personal Finance. And how are you doing, Stacy?
I'm doing great today, Charles. And your elevator speech is better than mine. I need to hire you one day.
Hey, you can record it and use it. Well, you know, it
sounds excellent.
It's all about, you know, we were sharing offline earlier today. You know, black women rock, and you just the epitome of a black woman that is just doing great things. Not to say guys aren't, you know, it's always been taken for granted that guys, you know, going to do well. But to hear so many, I get a real joy out of interviewing women who have done great things, and you're in that category. So I thank you so much, you know, for when I found out about your book, and then I read your background, I was like, wow, you know, this woman. Yeah, I'm surprised she's even still standing, okay? Because I'm sure you've probably heard some people say, I'd have just gave up. I would just say, you know, screw this, you know, I'm just going to do me and be done with it. But you didn't do that. And so just, you know, I don't even know how to frame your background. Can you give us an idea of where you came from and what brought you to the point where you are now?
It's been a long journey, a lot of curvature in the road or this journey to success. And I am a second generation Allstate agent, well, second generation insurance agent. Of course, I was born into a family, a more affluent African-American family at those times. But that doesn't come without its hardships or, you know, different personal issues, because we all have them in our family history. I may have deviated, like many, off of that path, and I was a single parent, unfortunately, by the death or early demise of my daughter's father at the age of 24. So I was thrown a couple of monkey wrenches along the way in my journey, and the gentleman I dated shortly after that was murdered. So I had a lot of tragedy early on that I turned into victory or triumph later in my later travels or later journey. And I feel like it made me the well-rounded woman that I am. It made me the go-getter that I am. I'm very good with juggling work-life balance, because when you're a single parent and you're in the trenches, you have nowhere to go but up. And you have to learn how, it's survival of the fittest, and you have to learn how to survive. And so that skill has given me the drive and determination to succeed over, as my chapter says, to grow beyond your shadow.
Mm. Now, one of the things that, you know, amazed me is that, you know, you don't have a college background. Is that correct? Am I correct in saying that?
I do not. I do not have a college education. I may have taken a year and a half of collegiate studies after high school. And in high school, I had some bumps in the road then. I was the kid that, you know, went to a private school. You gave me my assignments on Monday. I was finished by Wednesday, so I kind of felt in senior year, why should I show up on Thursday and Friday? Because I had other things to do. So the absenteeism made that impossible from not only a college degree, but they wanted me to repeat my senior year because of absenteeism, even holding down a 4.0 GPA. And I refused, and I was a defiant teen, and I refused to go sit back in school a year just to miss the same amount of days again, because I just couldn't understand, with that GPA, why would I did my work, why would I have to stay there? And I ended up with a GED, my first daughter at the age of 21, but I was getting, I was aggressive even then at 21. I was an entrepreneurial spirit. We went into business ownership early. I was a manager running the YMCA. I don't know why they entrusted me with the YMCA housing department. I have no idea, but my grandmother got some strings pulled, got me that job, and they entrusted me with the after-school program and the displaced families there. So I was making a good amount of money at a very young age, 18, 19, making about $40,000. So I figured, why do I need to sit back in school when I'm already able to provide for myself?
What, when I hear about your, tell us about your fresh start. That's like the, hearing that story is like a Tyler Perry story. You know, I'm living in my car, but I just said, hey, I'm going to Georgia. You know, as my mother would say, didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. And you decided to come to Georgia, all like 900 miles away. And you're sort of like me. I came 900 miles away to go to University of Georgia. And my friends tell me, he says, you know, you're the only guy we knew that came that far and didn't have a athletic scholarship. But you just packed up your stuff and left. Explain, you know, what drove you to do that.
And early on, I'm also back up as a teen. I also was a victim of domestic violence. So I had some volatile relationships early on. I ended up with a broken nose, a couple of fractured ribs, very early on. Then I, you know, I had a child. It feels like it was a teen pregnancy, but I was 21. I was an adult. I had my own place. I purchased my own home at 21, and I put $25,000 in Piccadilly Place in Somerset, New Jersey. So that was my first home ownership at 21. And then to lose all of those things with the death of my daughter's father and just depression and just life, the burdens of life overwhelming me. I needed a fresh start. I needed peace. I needed a break from whatever was going on, kind of like we are in the pandemic, but I was in a forceful pandemic just by life circumstances, and I had to start afresh. I needed to figure something out because I lost everything I had built, lost my home. I went through foreclosure. I was depressed. I really couldn't work. I wanted something different. So we came to Georgia. This was after kind of like the end of the Freaknik. I didn't get to enjoy the Freaknik days because I was raising and changing Pampers at that time and trying to make some money. But I came here. They had like a little miniature kind of like revival of the Freaknik. And I came. I didn't know anyone here. And I just felt that Georgia held the key to my success or my destiny. I didn't know how. I felt that my husband would be here, my future would be here, but I had no way to get there, and I knew no one here, but I knew I wanted something new. And I just needed to start something new in my life. So I went home while everyone was partying and everyone was asleep. I went to a job fair. I got hired on the spot. I went back to Jersey, gave my 2-week notice, packed up all my stuff, and I moved to Georgia with no cell phone to start anew. And I had some transitions while I was here, but I'm glad I persevered and I stayed, and I turned my mess into success. And
now,
turned a lot of things around.
What year was this?
That was 2001. So I moved here in May of 2001, and in Jersey, the kids get out of school in September. So I left my girls there for that short time from like a month and a half so I could establish myself here. And then I went back. I didn't even know if my furniture was going to show up. The guy who moved my furniture, I never saw him again. His name was Big John. I met him at Stop and Shop on Bloomfield Avenue trying to get boxes. And I let him move all my furniture to Georgia. And luckily he brought them here. And I just came here and I did the work on myself. My internal work. I got peace. I was away from friends and family, all distractions. And so the only person I could deal with was me, myself, my daughters to keep me inspired. And I got to know God and strengthen my faith a little bit more during that time.
So now you're here in Georgia. You've got a job. And so you start working at this job, I guess, in 2001. When did you open up your first agency? Tell us about that experience. What led you to believe, first of all, that you wanted to open up an agency? And then, you know, what year did you open up? What did that process look like?
Well, in Jersey, you know, they wanted that paper, so you needed to have that degree and that paperwork. One thing great about Georgia is it gave people like me, second-time contenders, an opportunity to rebirth themselves or reinvent themselves. And it wasn't based upon me having that degree. It was based upon, you know, my hustle or my drive and my belief in myself. So 2001, worked there at the phone company, local telecommunication company. Couldn't stand corporate America here. And like they still do now, you know, the insurance companies, they're out there hunting. So they found me, the hungry hunters. They found me and my resume, and I had previous insurance experience. So they interviewed me, and I played that bluff game with them. But I was, you know, I'm a daddy's girl, so my daddy's an insurance agent for 52 years. So I grew up in insurance. That's something I know by like the back of my hand. So I just went out with a bunch of big dreams, and I lied all through the interview process that I had all this money so I could buy this agency, and I didn't have not any money, not even probably $50. But I figured it out, and the universe, I attracted it to myself. And I was able to open that office in 2005, March 1st, 2005. I started training in January of 2000. I started training in January of 2005, and my start date was March 1st, 2005. And 10 years later, I purchased the second office, and we opened on March 1st, 2015.
Wow. So now you went from almost being homeless, you know, because in the book you mentioned that you got terminated while you were on disability, so that was had to be a real hiccup, you know, to have to deal with that, and then opening up your first agency in 2005. So let me ask you this, okay? You know, with five kids, you know, and I don't know how many kids you had at that time, but you had several, I'm sure, from what I can understand. I'm assuming with the one agency you were doing well, right? Were you doing well with the agency?
I started to do well because 2001 to 2003, I was with the telecommunication. Then I went and worked for a couple of local agencies, not with the company I'm with, but with other companies. And I started to build my contacts, my resources to refer me clients. So when that opportunity came to me in the end of 2004, And then I got hold of some money from somewhere in the end of 2004, opened the office. I had already built contacts because while I was working, see, they tell you in the Bible to be a good steward of what God blesses you with, and then he's going to give you more. And he did it in my story. I worked in other people's offices, and I humbled myself as a customer service rep, but everybody in these streets of Atlanta thought I owned the agencies. Because I worked those offices like I owned those offices. So I hired people for them. I was teaching one of the agents how to run his own agency because he knew nothing about insurance. And when I finally was able to launch, all the people that were referring me business, and we were booming in the real estate market then, they sent me all the same amount of customers. So I was able to open my office with zero customers and grow the agency to 3,000 customers over that 10 years. Still have three more kids on top of the two I already had. I had a pretty good run at a marriage. We're divorced now, but we had a good run. We had a good 12 years of slave. I'm free now, but that's a whole nother comment.
Your trip. Okay.
But yeah, that's it. And it worked out. It was all, it's just a wing,
you know,
and a prayer.
But here's the thing, you know, you've got an agency, it's doing well, and then you decide, oh, I'm just not going to do one agency, you know, I'm gonna do two, which is twice the work. How do you manage that? Because you've got some other things. Are you still doing the real estate stuff as well?
I'm still a real estate agent. I got a real estate license in 2008, right before 2008, right before the recession hit really hard, because I was gonna want to open a brokerage. Actually, I like this little. It's like this is like the playground area that I'm blessed to have two agencies. But this was big. This was a knockdown from my true ambition. My ambition was to purchase a big agency in New Jersey. And so I got shot down because, you know, we don't always get the same equal playing field. So I got shot down on that. And so they offered me to purchase this smaller agency here in Atlanta and see how I did. And I said, don't get too cocky, young lady. Be blessed and figure this out, because it is a lot to manage two offices, and the staffing is a nightmare, keeping staff and being friendly with everybody and driving back and forth from hour from one office to the other, and then still showing up at football games and trying to write a book and going through a divorce, and all of these things were going on during this 2015 to current. So I humbled myself because I said I need to learn because I haven't managed these two locations. And so now I feel like we got the tweaks out. And they threw the monkey wrench in the sink at me, but I think I'm ready because I still have ambitions to get something in Jersey and expand the brand of the RCA Consulting Group for my insurance.
Got it.
Yeah, real estate is great. I just went and looked at a property today.
So why you have your eyes set on an agency in New Jersey? What's the thing? I just want to own something back at home. You know, what's the thought?
Well, my dad's been there 52 years, so he has 52 years of relationship building in that community where his office is, with our family, with our friends. He's on billboards in that area. He has maybe 8,000 policyholders. So why should I let them go to a stranger? They should come back to me. They should come back. His agency, he cannot sell to me. Like, we have ownership in our agencies. He doesn't have the opportunity. So he can't bequeath or sell it to a family member like I would be with my agency. So I'm in a legacy building business. I didn't do all this work and come up with all this faith and favor not to give it to some of these kids. I got too many kids. So I got to work like 500 jobs. Somebody got to eat when I go. And I don't want my daddy's work of 52 years to go to squander to somebody else's Karen or Becky or Johnny or Joey.
So I hear what you're saying. So this other company, this other insurance company, basically says that he has to sell it back to the company, basically.
Correct.
Buy it, or someone else in that brand can buy it. Is that how it works?
Correct. Or they go back to the corporate office and then they divvy it up to how they want.
Right.
They probably wouldn't give it all to one person. They would divvy it up to
Okay.
You could probably make four agencies out of that.
At 8,000 policyholders, yeah, that's a legacy. You know, and so now if you don't pull that off, I mean, you've got two agencies, you're doing the real estate, you're raising five kids, what's the next thing on the horizon for you? What is it that you're looking for? If you can't pull off the New Jersey, you know, deal, what's the next thing that's on your horizon? Because you're relatively young, so you've got a lot of time on your hands.
I went and looked at some investments. I'm trying to get in mixed use now. Go ahead and throw my hat back in the real estate game. I just looked at a property today to probably purchase and flip it and brownstone it out here in Georgia.
Okay.
That's something to expand my brand or my portfolio. The book, I'm working on the next book that I'm writing as well. So I'm excited about promoting this book, being part of the project with Les. And I'm tapping into the inspirational, motivational speaking because everyone's been telling me for years, you need to share what you went through. Like you said, you read it, but you were shocked because you would have never known that about me.
I would have never known. And truth and transparency, you know, I was with Allstate, and that's how I met Stacy. So let's be transparent. It's not like we just yesterday met each other. So I'm sure people can tell that we have some history together. And I've been around her, and I was always impressed how she handled all her kids. And, you know, I think you were pregnant at the time I met you, you know, at the time. I think, you know.
I've been barefoot and pregnant forever. I probably was.
I didn't want to say nothing. But anyway, and so, you know, I would have never known. And reading your story is so, and I agree with people that your story is definitely motivational, especially for folks who, have had some challenges in their life and think that, oh, I'm just going to give up. And you're here to tell them, no, don't give up. Just keep pushing, keep pushing. Now, you mentioned something that we didn't clear up. How did you get involved in this book? Because this book is a compilation of several motivational stories. How did you become a part of this project?
So about 3 or 4 years ago, I was part of the Black Friday film project. They did the remix. And I was blessed to meet Les. I met Ona, Boyce Watkins at that event. It's just a lot of people, the Tankers. There were a lot of David Banner, a lot of great people were involved. Rick Mathis, the director here. He's now doing something with Sonya Booker. So I built a relationship with Ona. We went to the vegan, before the Slutty Vegan, there was another vegan spot, That's So Vegan. We went down there, we ate our little vegan soup, and we bonded and we connected. She started coaching me as she learned more about me on an intimate level, you know, because she does life coaching. She started coaching me in about 2015, 2016 to mentor with her and Les to try to put out my own personal book from childhood to adulthood and tap into motivational speaking. I went through the divorce. I couldn't do it. I had to back out. We were about to go in studio and record, and I said I couldn't do it. It was too much at the time, and some of the things I was sharing was being used against me in the divorce, so I couldn't do it. A year and a half ago, we went for lunch at the Gathering Spot, and she brought the whole project up to me. I didn't know anything about it. I thought we were just having girl lunch, and she asked me, again, would I be ready to come and share my story or some of my story and be part of the project? And I feel like I am an opportunist, but if opportunity knocks and it keeps knocking, then you need to open the door and listen. So I couldn't do anything but say I'm going to do it, and I was still a little bit nervous about sharing my business, my personal parts of my personal business with the public. But the reactions I see when people even just read my chapter and they come, and I've done a couple of book things, signings, and, you know, I had, you know, a lot of people. I sold maybe 100 books, and we weren't even in sale just when I got my order and sent it out on Facebook. And they, like, bust out crying. And then I feel like a narcissist because I'm like, I can't help but being so excited because I'm like, oh, my God, it evokes so much emotion in you. I must have really wrote something good. I should be hugging them, but I'm like, I'm not happy you're crying, but I'm happy that it touched somebody that much to put tears in their eyes. And I said, I need to do this. It healed me, and now it might heal them.
And you're right about that. I mean, you think, like I said, the reaction that I had, I would have never thought that you experienced. Knowing, and I don't remember how I found out about your dad. I think you told me about it, and then I was in New Jersey riding along Teaneck Road, and I saw the billboard. I said, that's Stacy's dad. You know, so that's the way that you came through. And I would have thought that, you know, you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth. Your dad owns this great agency in Teaneck. And, you know, I just never thought you would have had those experiences. And that's another side of it, because obviously, you know, you grew up in an upper middle class, you know, neighborhood, you know, so that's, you know, important to know. And that just not just people from the hood have these experiences. You were in a middle, I would say in a 1%, because I'm sure your dad was doing real well to put you in a private school. So, you know, I think that story resonates. And I would suggest that if you have any doubt about your story, there's two books that I'm reading now. One's called Memorial Drive, and the other one is called Rabbit. And offline, you know, we can talk and I can tell you what the books are about. But I'm a part of a book study that's dealing with these books. But the stories are very, very similar to yours. And one's a comedian, the other one's a poet laureate, and they came out of Atlanta. And you know Memorial Drive, right?
I know exactly what Memorial Drive is.
Exactly. And one is Rabbit is about a comedian that came from. So I just say that, you know, the one thing about writing is that you write. It's therapeutic. Obviously, you have some things to share. You can go into more detail about some of this stuff. But for women, you know, particularly, and some guys too, I think it would be a powerful story to share with America, you know, and I think that's a really big lesson. And then going on a motivational, you know, tour, that would be great. And the other thing is that, you know, when you go on these tours, because, you know, I've written a couple of books myself, but when you go on these tours, you got to have something to sell, you know, in addition to whatever fee they're charging you. So just things to think about, I think, you know, but just so busy, I just don't know how you're going to have time. What are the ages of your kids? What are the youngest to the oldest?
So youngest is 9. Look,
okay.
I had to think. Look, 9, we just turned 12, 13, 21,
oh,
and
wow.
25. And the 25 and the 9 got the same birthday, so it was like the universe saying, you need to start and stop on this day here. I just wanted him out. I didn't even know it was her birthday. I forgot it was her birthday. I was like, let's go. Take him out. He's too big.
and I think, you know, now the older ones, the ones that are adults, 21 and 25-year-olds, are they interested in the business?
They both work in the agency.
Okay.
One is full-time, one is part-time, one is licensed,
okay.
One is studying for licensure. And
okay.
I'm a glam mom now. I go by Yaya, but glam mom is the popular
okay,
term.
Glam mom.
So the 21 has my first grandbaby.
Okay.
And another boy, Nashy Poo. So, you know, he'll be selling insurance too. And the boys have their own business cards. My boys, the 3, 9, 12, and 13 are boys. So they actually market. They have their own business card with their own picture for the agency, and they try to go get me some customers. So everybody got to
wow.
work in here.
I see, and that's that legacy. That's what people don't understand. You know, the reason, you know, I was an entrepreneur for 2020, and now I'm still an entrepreneur. I went back and said, I'm going to start doing it. I'm doing real estate and financial services. I'm a real estate investor, investing in houses and buy and hold. But anyway, you know, that gets into your blood. When you're around somebody, particularly a parent who is self-employed, I don't know how it gets into your blood, but at some point that bug is going to hit you, and you're going to say, hey, I've got to be my own boss. And sounds like that's what happened to you, because I worked and my dad owned 2 dry cleaners in the Bronx. And I never thought, even when I got into radio, I never thought that I was going to be working in corporate America. I was always scheming to get out, you know. And I eventually did for about 20, 25 years. And I went back, and now, you know, I'm doing kind of both, you know, because I'm getting up there in age, you know, so I got 3 more years and I'm out of this game. But, you know, your story is so inspiring. So I encourage you to do that. Now, for our women and for the guys, I don't want to shortchange the guys, but for the women what would you tell them? If you were in front of somebody who was in a situation similar to yours and was struggling, what would you tell them? What would piece of advice would you give them?
The first thing that I'm going to tell them to do is believe in their self. Because I was doing law of attraction, manifestation, and all this stuff. You know, we're in the universe and the stars and the moon. And I didn't even know I was doing it, and I was doing it. So the power of belief is the strongest tool we have. And as women, that goes a little bit deeper because we can bring life in here. So you can create life for yourself, and you're fertile. Your fertility does not need to be a kid walking around. God brought us here to breathe fertility into the world. And so you need to birth those new things, whether it's a physical baby or a new business or a book or a dream. Stop hoarding your gift, because it's somewhere it needs to come out. That's what you're supposed to be here for. That's what a woman's pathway is, to birth her gift. And so kids can be gifts, but businesses can be gifts. Books can be gifts. It's a lot of things. Your message can be a gift. And no matter how low it is, everything that goes up has to come down, and everything that goes down has to come up. So it's a cycle. It's going to go around. It'll be fine. You can get out of any situation. I've been in some really dark. I've been locked in a trunk, had my nose broke, broke ribs, and I still had all my nails broken off to the quick. I've been in some serious situations. We had a home invasion here while I was pregnant in my last pregnancy here in Georgia, in the house. And I still survived. So no matter how dark it gets, you can keep pushing forward. And not just for women, but for anybody. This is science, and I share this all the time, and I share it in the chapter too. This is science, this is not Stacy. The closer you get to the light, the bigger your shadow becomes. Stop running away from the light. The only thing that's chasing you into the light is your own fear and your own doubt. And if you can overcome that, you could do great things.
What do you share to other business owners? And not necessarily it has to be insurance business, but what do you share about business owners about, you know, success and motivation and doing the things that you're currently doing? What do you share with business owners who are, you know, have an agency or have a business no matter what? What is it that you share with them that you think makes a difference?
The biggest, because I'm a big small business advocate. So my book tours that are going to pop up, and I am doing a motivational six city speaking tour next year. But the book tours that I'm going to do, book signings, I'm only dealing with small businesses. Okay, so collaboration beats competition. You got to collaborate with other people in business. You got to create a network of collaboration, of referrals, of people that respect you in business. And know your customers. Sometimes it's a little bit burdensome because my customer, somebody just calling me on my cell phone now. I got to call him back. I don't know why he's calling me instead of calling the office, but I take payments at midnight. I got my customers spoiled. But that's what sets me apart from other agents. I argue with claims over my customers. If I think my customer right, I will go back and forth with the claims department about my customer. And so it's those relationships that you build with your customer. It's the rapport. One thing about me, I got a pretty good memory. So when people share their store, I've helped customers save their houses. When NACA was out and people was losing their houses, I did the paperwork for them to do their modifications to save their houses. I didn't charge them anything because I knew I felt bad for them. I'm a human. And if you humanize your interactions with your customers, they're going to respect you.
And that's what I see, the thread that's running through your life is relationships. Because, you know, God doesn't bless us anymore by raining manna from heaven. He blesses us through other people. You know, be a blessing so you can be blessed. And so you've kind of epitomized that when you kept saying the relationships. When I asked you how the book came about, that was a relationship. I'm sure if we dive into how you got these agencies, it's about relationships. You mentioned a contact. And so you're a relationship person, and you would probably be successful in no matter what you wanted, you ended up wanting to do, because you relate to people. You know, you are a diva by no stretch of the imagination. Yes, you are. But you don't act that way. you know. And so from what I'm hearing, you take a payment at midnight. I've heard businesses, well, I don't work on the weekends. And I said, okay, I get that. I said, but sometimes you have to if you're self-employed. You know, you just do what you got to do. And so your relationship your relationships are so key in what you're doing. And I'm sure I'm probably not the first person to tell you that you develop those relationships and they become the bane of your existence and of course of your growth. And so I applaud you for that. You know, that's something that everybody can learn from, is relationships, being able to, you know, get along. I'm sure you haven't met anybody that, you know, that didn't become a friend, you know, or someone that just became somebody that you know. You know, we haven't talked in, what, 10 years? Maybe longer than that. I don't know, 8 years, 9 years? And we just start off from where we left off. So everybody can't do that, you know. And see, the other
and
thing
is integrity. It's integrity. It's having some integrity with your connection. Because I fire people and then give them a hug and we go to lunch. Because this job might not be for you, but we still friends.
Exactly. That goes back to the relationships. That's what I'm saying. And see, and the other thing is that, you know, everybody, you know, the big push now is for everybody to be in business. And, you know, my 62 years and my, you know, 40-something years as an adult, everybody's not cut out for this life, is it? Everybody ain't cut out for this life, you know, in terms of being a business owner, whether it's part-time or whatever. Because you have to, and that's because you got to have somebody who's going to be an employee, so you got to have that, you know. But, you know, it has been such a joy to reconnect with you and hear about your book. Please, we didn't even say the name of the book. Please share the name of the book.
So the name of the book is Own Your Dreams, and I'm going to just share my Instagram because that's where I'm most on. And if you see anything inappropriate, just scroll on. I don't know. I might be in a bathing suit one day and in a suit the next day. Just disregard. But in the bio of my Instagram page, you will find, and I'm on Facebook with the same name. And this is the name for the Instagram. It's Red Bottoms, with the S at the end, all spelled out, Red Bottoms in Business. And that's the blood that connects us all in business. That's where I established that company, to help support minority business and small business, because collaboration beats competition, and that's how we can beat out the Walmarts. If we could just collectively come together and support one another, we'll have
Amen
a lot more business owners.
Amen to that. That's one of the things that, you know, I have found that is really distressing to me when black folks have deal with black businesses. And sometimes they may have a bad experience. That's going to happen. Not every black business is doing it 100. I get that. No white business is doing it 100. But guess what? You'll go to a white business or some other business and get bad service, but you don't say, oh, I'm not going to do business with them white business anymore. No, you go find another one. And I say that you need to do business with a black business. And if they are not doing it the way you should share that with the owner, because they may not know what's going on, and then go find another business, or, you know, repair that relationship. So that's one of the things, my pet peeves, is that people say, oh, you know, black, hold it, you know, we historically have started during Jim Crow, had our own businesses, and that was our only choice, and those businesses did well, and we need to go back to that, you know, being able to do business with others. That's what the other folk do. You know, and that's how they build themselves up.
Yeah, they support
up.
Each other. They support each other. They help each other. I try to mentor even the people that come. I've done internships. I mentor a lot of people. And because real leaders create leaders. So I'm definitely in the business of that. I can't do this all the time. I just ask that you respect my little boundary. Don't try to come infringe on my customers. But I'll teach you what you need to do, and you can do just what I did and go out with your own contact, because you're not in competition with me. You're in competition with yourself. So you're not proving to me that you can sell insurance or sell real estate. You got to prove that to yourself. And once you do that, you well deserved. I'll even refer you to management and help tell you how much money, help you with your credit recommendations. Because it's not for everybody. And it's got to be Chiefs and Indians, and I can't do everything because I got to hire some people to do some of the stuff. I don't know the internet that well. I'm trying to find some good social media people. That's like a nightmare. But we'll
yeah,
see
and
what
and
happens
nowadays, and nowadays, you got to have a social media presence. I mean, 10 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, I'll say 10, 15 years ago, companies didn't have a social media presence. They didn't have a Facebook page. They didn't have Instagram or Twitter. Now, on every television ad, you generally see some type of way for them to connect with their people on a social media basis. That's a big revelation. And the business has changed.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. So any
we forever changed with the pandemic.
Any parting words before we go?
Title of the book, I don't know if I said it, but it's Own Your Dreams. You can Google it. It's on Amazon. The link is on my page. I shared that. And it's a great time to read it because I'm not the only great author in it. It's some serious moguls in this book, and they are sharing some blueprints to success. So I would recommend everybody get you a copy and reach out to me. Give me your feedback. And I hope everybody stays encouraged and prospering in the pandemic because that's what I'm trying to do.
So the best way to contact with you is through your Instagram, Red Bottoms in Business, I guess. That's
correct. And
Instagram.
That's also Facebook. So if they message Facebook with Red Bottoms in Business or Instagram, it's going to come to me.
And you forgot the one thing. If you need insurance, call.
If you need insurance, then call. We're in East Atlanta Village and in the east side in Conyers. So call our number, 404-638-6593. We got agents ready to assist you. And people, please, my people, get some life insurance. But I'm not going to take this fine. I know you're giving financial advice. But
you can
get it from Charles or anybody you need to get it from. Get your affairs in order. Get your property insured. Everything done.
I've been thinking about it. I let my life insurance license lapse, but I probably should have kept it up. I just didn't think. But nowadays, it'd probably be worthwhile to consider doing that. But no, I'll send all that business. Yeah, you get that. You know, everybody needs some life insurance. And in my experience, if they don't need $50,000, they need a couple of $100,000, probably a half a million, you know, in terms of life
insurance. Yeah, because if we had, that's a whole nother campaign. But if we had, I talk about it on my page sometimes. But if we just had, imagine all the people that was killed by senseless crimes or senseless brutality, excessive force, if they just had $250,000 worth of coverage or $1 million worth of coverage, we wouldn't be marching anywhere right now. Wouldn't be all this distress.
When my daughters were young, I had over $1 million worth of coverage. And, but here's the thing, you know, we talk about the wealth gap, and then I'll end with this, is that if all black folks would go out and get enough insurance, okay, it could be $100,000, $200,000, whatever, because you're not going to benefit from it. You're going to leave that for the next generation, okay? They get enough insurance. You know, I always say determine how much you need and buy all you need. And once you do that, leave that for the next generation because you're not going to benefit from it, but your legacy would. We could end this wealth gap. I think it's a crime when you think about that every generation has to start from zero. That shouldn't be. If you had $100,000, $50,000, whatever, when your parents died, guess what? This is going to help you do something, pay off some bills, start a business, pay off your house, whatever. And so I may launch a campaign for that. Let me think about what I'll call it because I think that that's real. We keep talking about we get our reparations. Well, that may come in the by and by, but right now you could buy some insurance to make sure that your children's children have something, okay, even if you don't have a whole lot.
Yeah,
you know?
And you could stop. We could stop all this senseless murdering. We could stop that right there. Cause I got a shirt on there, hands up, and that's what Black Friday Film Remix and the Black Friday Film was promoting. Mm. It's called Bills or Leaving Your Family Bills or Benefits. That's his hashtag in there. Director Rick Mathis is hashtag Bills or Benefits. What do you want to leave your family? Donald Trump, the 45, his daddy left him some millions.
Oh, hundreds of millions of dollars. Yeah.
They left him a lot of money. So all of the rich, all of the elite, it came from the families planning properly and leaving them a lot of money. You go out and play the lottery every week. We the first people over there at the lottery pay $50 a week, right? But we won't buy a guaranteed lottery payout for our own kids.
Mm. Yeah. That's the very truth. Well, I'm going to develop a campaign around that, buy insurance to leave a legacy. I'm going to come up with some type of catchy thing because I've been thinking about it for a long time. And, you know, all this legacy, we could talk all, like you say, you could talk all you want. But if you buy that coverage, even if it costs you $50 a month, $25, whatever, you can leave it for the next generation. And the other part of that, you've got to make sure they know what to do with it when they get it. Not go out there and buy them a Maserati or nothing like that. What to do with it. That's the other part of that. So, well, Stacy, it's so good connecting with you again. Much success to you. Increased success, because you're just a dynamite person to be able to be blessed in such a way, helping people. And, you know, you're welcome on my show anytime you want to talk. We may have come up with some other topics for you to talk about. All right.
Thank you so much for inviting me. And you have a great day, Charles. I really, 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 really appreciate your support.
No, you know you got it. You know you got it. Take care now. All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. You know, I always get invigorated when I talk to people who are doing great things. I just, you know, at my age, to get invigorated is a blessing, to be able to be motivated by someone. And to hear her story is just very, very life-changing. The other part of that, if you are an Amazon Kindle Unlimited subscriber, you get the book for free. Okay? That's how I got mine. I'm a Kindle United something, you know. For those who, you know, download books from Amazon, which is like crack to me, okay? For a guy that has over 1,000 books to be able to download, I got 300 or 400 on my Kindle. But if you're a Kindle United Unlimited, I think, member, you can, you know, get the book for free. You just have to trade out one of the books, because in Kindle Unlimited, you can have 10 books. You just have to swap one out, you know, and read it on your Kindle. Once again, thank you so much for listening. This has been a great show. I'm so glad that I had a chance to connect again with Stacy and hear about all the great things she's doing. Take care, and we'll see you on the other side.